Are the sophisticated investors, quote unquote, missing this? I might be crazy, but to me it seems, and maybe it's just the publications, maybe it's just the market watches, the Yahoo finances that are talking about our economy being overpriced. The stock market being overpriced, that the economy isn't doing well, that the fundamentals aren't doing well. I had this theory early on in this closure, in this economic shutdown, where I think that this is not going to be like an every other recession, quote unquote. And I use the quotes because we're not in a recession yet. A recession, by definition, even though they try to change it to make Trump look worse, is two consecutive negative quarters of GDP growth. A recession is two consecutive negative quarters of GDP growth. We've had one. We might not have another. So we would have a contraction. We would not have a recession by definition, by economic vernacular, however you want to call it. So let's talk about that today. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for sharing the show with a friend, subscribing. Guys, I really appreciate it. It's such a blessing to see that you guys are willing to share the show, that this show meant that much to you. And thank you very much for that. You can become a Fight Laugh Feast member. Go over to flfnetwork.com, put in HGB in the memo field. You'll get that mug right there. Ooh, I put my finger pretty close to it. If you're watching, I like just rocketed my arm back there and it pointed perfectly at the mug. I couldn't do it a second time. You get tons of other benefits. Don't miss our conference coming up October 1st through the 3rd, Nashville, Tennessee. No masks required. I have a mask story. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. Where I got my hair did and had a confrontation with the mask Nazis. No, I'm just kidding. They were actually really great. And I'm going to talk about that probably tomorrow if I do not forget. So let's get into this right now. I was reading this article. I'm going to give you the headline and I'll read you the paragraph and then I'll talk about my theory about what's happening from an economic perspective. And you tell me, I really want you to let me know. If you think I'm wrong, please tell me for my own sake, because I'm making moves and I'm betting that I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I'd like to know before I lose money. The Market Watch says the pros are let me share. I forgot I have my fancy shareable thing now. Oh, and I'm doing a different format. So let me know if you're watching on YouTube, if you like this kind of sharing screen or the other kind where I'm smaller and the screen is bigger. That's what I'm trying now. Okay. The pros are getting ready for a market crash. Retail investors, not so much. Top economist warns. And that economist is Mohammed El-Iran, who is the... he manages the bonds. Does he still work for PIMCO? I don't remember. I'm not in the bond market. I don't pay attention to bonds. I don't know how to say it besides saying it's just not sexy enough for me. Alan Allianz, chief economic advisor, but he used to work for PIMCO. And there's this one paragraph in here. Much of this could be seen as market deepening were it not for one troubling fact. Corporate and economic fundamentals have yet to reflect a sustained and convincing recovery from COVID-related damage. The rebound in consumption is slowly. Initial jobless claims are back to the 1 million level for a second straight week. Bankruptcies are rising, according to El-Iran. It's looking like these short-term disruptions are about to become long-term scars. Now, I want to kind of just tell you what I think's happening, what I think the economy looks like from my perspective, and what has happened with companies and why I'm still bullish on the market. And again, I'd love to hear your thoughts and feedback. This is not in financial advice by any means. This is just my read on the economy and the reflection of that in the market. I think that there have been a lot of jobs ruined. I think there have been a lot of small businesses that are never going to come back. I think that what the government has done has been an injustice. I think that there should be some kind of restitution or reparations, depending on who's using the word and how they're defining it. It's just absolutely criminal what the federal government, what the local governments did, what the state governments did. And even to this day, it's absolutely criminal. And businesses have been ruined. Jobs have been lost. businesses that have gone out of business aren't coming back. That is all very true. But my take on that is those are not companies that are listed on the stock exchange. Those are not the companies that are invested in, that you and I are buying stocks of. Those are not those companies. It doesn't make it less tragic. It doesn't make it less criminal. It doesn't make it less outrageous. It doesn't make it less painful for the people who have lost their jobs. But the people and the million people that are unemployed, our service sector jobs, our other jobs that are small businesses for the most part. And yeah, I'm sure there's been big businesses that have cut back on jobs too, which will go to my point in a second. But a majority of the damage has not been done to the bigger companies that we see in the stock market. And I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. The big companies, in my opinion, from what I have seen, have grown stronger, have seen less competition, have seen those up-and-coming competitors go away. In fact, COVID has created a beautiful barrier to entry to a lot of startups, a lot of smaller companies that were chipping away at the pie, at the market share. And what has happened is that the damage has been done, but to companies that did not have sustainable cash flow to carry them through these months of shutdown, through these months of fear, through these months of hysteria. And so the companies that have survived have been the companies with large cash on hand or been able to get financing, which have been who? The companies on the stock exchange. And what else has happened? And this goes back to my theory early on, which makes me think that this is different from a typical recession, is that we have not contracted in the sense that we don't have enough capital to spend, that we couldn't get enough loans to invest in future returns on investment that are greater than our initial investments. It's not that kind of a recession where we've overextended ourselves and we need to contract, we need to restructure and things like that. But it has forced us to adopt technology faster than we normally would have. These bigger companies have been forced to adopt technology that they would have adopted just 5 years, 10 years down the line, depending on how slow of a company they are to adopting new technology. And what has happened from that, guys? Think about this. The big companies that are on the stock market and the stock exchange, right? They have more access to capital by definition because they're selling stocks on the publicly traded market. They're able to issue more stock. They're able to get more debt. They're able to do all these different things that smaller businesses weren't able to do that went out of business. But these people have been able to float themselves until they can make these adjustments. And what have they found out? That technology, having people work from home, makes them more efficient, meaning it's cheaper for employees to work from home. It's cheaper for them to meet online. It's cheaper for them to not have to have these big overhead costs with all these buildings. And it's working. And these companies are functioning and they're profitable. And we're seeing earnings. And we're seeing people are saying that the worst has happened. And what has happened is that the costs have been reduced. Which, if you remember a long time ago, I shared this, the fastest way, I think I even did this in a kind of like a quiz where I posed a question one day and asked for the answer the next day and gave it to you the next podcast. But the quickest way to grow profits is to cut costs, not to grow revenues. Because when you grow revenues, baked into that is variable cost. And so if you could just cut costs, your margins are going to grow, which means your shareholder value is going to increase as well. So it is true that our economy isn't fully back. It is true that there has been irreparable damage. There are long-term scars. But that doesn't mean that companies aren't profitable. It doesn't mean that certain companies haven't taken advantage of the demand shifts in the economy and capitalize on it. That doesn't mean that they haven't been able to successfully pivot, successfully implement new technologies that they would have done later in life, but did it sooner and now are going to be able to reap the rewards of it. They don't have to spend money on travel. They're making these meetings and sales meetings online. They don't have to have these big offices and these big buildings anymore. They don't have to have people come into this office in this big, impressive, you know, rented out swag place. They can just do them online now, and they're finding that it's just as effective. Now, there are drawbacks, obviously, to not meeting in person, but the opportunity cost is not that great. I don't know if the benefit is that much more worth it to pay for people to be flying all around the country, rental rooms, dinners, and all that stuff. We might be finding out that it's just not worth it. And so this is my question. Are the, what do they call them? Oh, I've said it in my title and I forgot. The sophisticated investors missing this? And I could totally see this happening because what happens over and over again that the sophisticated investors, and I don't even mean that condescending, they are sophisticated. They have their models. They have their trends. They have their historical data. They have their experience. All have shaped and told them how things have gone in the past and how to consider and think about the growth in the economy and growth in the market and looking at the indicators and all the warning signs and all that stuff. But this time is different. And are they so ingrained and focused on what and how they've read the markets in the past that they're not seeing that this isn't like any other recession, that these companies, that the damage has been done to smaller companies that aren't even being invested in, and that these bigger companies that have been able to survive this have shifted and pivoted and restructured in ways where they're more efficient using technology in greater ways? And if I am right, I don't see why we need to be bearish. Now, obviously, individual stocks, I'm talking about just overall general principles. There are companies that are going to fail still. There are companies that are bad investments. There's companies that are good investments. But I think that they're missing it. And that means there's going to be great opportunities for us to make money because these sophisticated investors are going to be betting against the market. They're going to be shorting the market. And that's going to create better value opportunities for us retail investors. I think we got something here, guys. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Let me know. You can email me, matt@howtobuildtent.com. Find me on all the social media sites, How to Build a Tent, especially Parler, where I am not censored. Please share the show with somebody you think this would be interesting to. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.